around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark. Well, currently it's 74 degrees at Hollis, 72 degrees at Eric, and looks like between Eric and Texola there, they got a pretty good little shower coming down, slow moving. So according to my radar scope, you guys have got anywhere from 3/10 to 3/4 of an inch so far here in the last hour. So keep it coming. 70 degrees at Cheyenne, home of the secret weapon. You can see him probably in action sometime this evening. Anyway, 74 degrees at Arnett, home of Miss Lori Campbell. 72 degrees at the May Ranch. 76 degrees at Helena, Oklahoma. 73 degrees at Beaver. Out here in the Texas Panhandle, we have, let's check it out, mainly all 70s. It's 80 degrees at Odell, 72 at Wellington, 70 at Miami, and 74 at Lipscomb. Okay, the new drought monitor's out. Let's check out what's happening with there. Where'd it go? There it is. The new drought monitor came out this morning. Looks like western Oklahoma and the eastern Texas Panhandle has improved. There is just a scotch of D4 drought up in the, I think that's Texas County, maybe, up there in the Panhandle of Oklahoma. D4 there, but it is, it's narrowed way down, not a lot of D4 anymore, which is your exceptional drought. And Texas Panhandle is looking really good, and this thing is going to change dramatically next week when the new one comes out, because the Panhandle of Texas has just been getting rain after rain every night. They're still getting rain right now. So anyway, it's feast or famine. It seems like we got it's either too wet or too dry, but I'd rather it be too wet, to be honest with you. It's holding up some areas of harvest, wheat harvest going on. I know some guys over there around Delhi got started with wheat harvest here a few days ago. I did see down in Frederick and around Grandview and Tipton, they're in full swing down there. One lady that has a harvest crew on social media, she posted last night, she had over the monitor some beautiful wheat down there by Tipton, bringing, was making 94 bushels per acre. So anyway, that was really good. I don't see a lot of that happening out here in western Oklahoma, but that's awesome for whoever's got that wheat going on. But the it's just the western parts of the south region were wet, while eastern parts are mostly dry. Texas and Oklahoma, western Texas and Oklahoma, there's heavy rain and parts, just you're getting under the right part of the cloud. And so the D3 extreme drought had expanded in Oklahoma, but just east of where it's rained. I guess there's over east of Weatherford, I guess, they're still lacking some rain, if you want to say it. But anyway, that D3 is expanded over there, but the D4 has narrowed down. So anyway, the USDA data reveals that 40% of the winter wheat crop in Texas was in poor to very poor condition. So things are still just not good. Speaking of, I'm going to do the show a little bit different today. Drought takes its toll on Oklahoma cattle producers. Drought throughout the Southern Plains has taken its toll on Oklahoma cattle producers over the past 2 years. Ponds are dry, pastures are brown, and cattle herds have been liquidated, especially in western Oklahoma. Yes, now our pastures have greened up, but there's still a lot of ponds that haven't caught any runoff. As I said earlier, if you get right under that cloud, it'll get you. But I've got ponds from my landlord here straight south Elk City across 152 highway down there that I'm still hauling water. Pastures are green, but It's just sad that it was still got to haul water with all this rain happening out here in western Oklahoma. The drought monitor maps from the Oklahoma MesNet consistently display a prominent drought line slashing across the state from northeast to southwest. Now the rain has fallen across much of the state this past month. Weary producers wonder if it's a long-awaited recovery is near. Families who have devoted generations of blood, sweat, and tears to their herds have held on as long as they can, but still face difficult decisions this summer. Lindsay Coker and her brother left careers in Houston to move back home with their families to help their parents on a farm near Texola. They grow cotton, wheat, and hay while managing an Angus cow operation. Some western Oklahoma producers like Coker live in an area teetering in the extreme to exceptional drought category. My dad always taught me not to overstock, but this has gotten a little more challenging, she said. This past winter, we had the leanest pastures we've ever started with, and we've had to supplement with more forage, cake, and protein. Coker's operation uses a pasture rotational program to ensure forages recover to maintain cattle grazing and minimize inputs. However, this method is more difficult to follow when the grass is stunted or dormant from drought. As a result, additional hay must be purchased, and the concentrated processed cake cattle feed made from distillers' grains, soybean meal, sunflower meal, and other crude protein is expensive. When hay can't be found and water is scarce, older cattle and those that are not bred are sold to reduce expenses. This year, the Coker's family, through pregnancy checking, improved the operation's efficiency. We knew it wasn't going to be an ideal situation going into this past winter, so we wanted to give our cows an optimal chance to thrive and produce to the best of their ability, she said. The recent rain recorded in Texola has stirred a new sense of optimism, and Coker anticipates the day where pastures can thrive and provide much-needed forage. Everything is starting to green up, and that helps our mood and outlook, she said. I hope this is the start of the turnaround. You've just got to have hope and faith that things will work out. 2.5 hours north, rancher Johnny Owens owns yearlings near Buffalo in northwestern Oklahoma. He has 50% fewer cattle this year, and said if his area doesn't receive an additional rain soon, he will be forced to sell his stock. And thank goodness, last night I seen on the MesNet, or not on the MesNet, but my radar scope, the Oklahoma Panhandle, especially up around Buffalo and around Woodward, they got some really good rains last night. So it's not to fix it, but it sure helps to mend it a little bit. We have 20% of what our normal grass growth would be this time of year. After dusting in the wheat last fall with no moisture, Owens and his Harper County neighbors are facing a failed wheat crop. Owens grazed his failed wheat, and others have followed suit to buy time. It's too expensive to feed all winter in the summer. He said producers with cows have culled heavily and begin liquidating herds if a turnaround doesn't occur within the next 30 to 60 days. Back over here in eastern Oklahoma, lush green forage covers the landscape, a stark contrast to western Oklahoma's cracked, bare earth. Cattleman Dex Burkett, I hope I said that right, manages Burkett Cattle Company in Tioga with his father and uncle, and has worked as director of sales and operations at Mid-American Feeds for 25 years. We're at the edge of the stocker country, but we also have a lot of small mom and pop operations that rely on hay when they don't have a lot of forage. Mid-American Feeds typically provide feed for about 300,000 head of cattle in northeast Oklahoma every day. But drought conditions earlier this year forced local producers to cull at least 10% of their herds. The reduction in numbers trickled down to lower feed sales at the mill. His cow-calf and stocker operation was also impacted by the drought with diminished pollen water, hay, and forage. Their family pregnancy-checked cows and heifers culling 10 to 20% of the herd. Average weaning weights dropped and fewer cows bred back from the previous year. A dry, barren landscape began to affect the livestock there. So the countdown to recovery, here we go. Improving weather conditions are chipping away at the broader area drought, but drought recovery takes years. according to Dr. Daryl Peel with Oklahoma State University Extension Livestock Marketing Specialist. In his latest segment on SUNUP, OSU Agriculture Weekly Production Agriculture TV show, Peel said 54% of Oklahoma pastures are still in poor condition. It's highly unlikely that we could stop herd liquidation completely. It's deceiving. Pastures look green, but producers tell me that there's not a lot of growth. Unless we get a lot of follow-up moisture within the next couple months, we still will see some limited forage season. There you have it. It's still said all along, we're still not out of this hot water here yet, but it's looking up. I have talked to some producers myself. You know, a lot of Bermuda grass, especially in the last 3 or 4 days, with the weather finally warming up a little bit. You know, the ground stayed really cool there for a while. And I talked to them, and they said their pastures are green, and they're starting to grow, but they got a long ways to go because our pastures were grubbed down pretty low. So hopefully everything turned around, and looking at the 15-day forecast earlier, we got a chance of rain every day for the next 15 days, especially the next couple days. Oklahoma Mesonet Center posted on their Facebook page just about an hour ago, and they're expecting anywhere from 1.5 to 3 inches in all of western Oklahoma and the eastern Texas Panhandle over the next 48 hours. So here we go. Let's see what happens. I told you guys if I cut my oats, it was going to rain, and here it goes. So, well, let's take an Oklahoma Farm Bureau break, and when I come back, I'll tell you some stuff about the Oklahoma Farm Bureau, brought to you by the Roger Mills County Farm Bureau. Be right back.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Do you love the great outdoors? Maybe you enjoy trap shooting or skeet shooting, or maybe getting some target practice in at the firing range is your thing. If you're that person, you love guns. Hobart Farm and Garden has a whole room dedicated to guns, gun safes, ammunition, and more. It's quite impressive. You gotta go check it out. They are Western Oklahoma's platinum Browning dealer and Glock stocking dealer. They're located at 1030 South Monroe in Hobart, Oklahoma. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Hobart Farm and Garden.
Our company is called Flow Fuel. We deliver fuel to farmers and ranchers around western Oklahoma. So the other side of our business is we fuel fracks. We have an automated system that we fuel fracks. We go through so much volume of diesel that we get a good price on it. It's just like anything. The more you buy, the cheaper the price. So we buy so much volume that we get a better price, and we're allowed to move that over to the ranchers and farmers. Our whole thought process was, you know, we're making money with this. Let's start fueling some farmers and move that price break over to them. Yes, price is the first thing, but reliability, knowing that when you call and ask someone to show up, they show up, do what they say. I really am prideful about doing what I say. I want to always be there. I want people to call me and know that I'm going to show up and do what I say.
My name is Jamie Washburn.
My name is Daniel Bennett. Our company is called Flow Fuel. Call 339-8111.
Call 339-8111.
We will be an ag bank forever. There's just no way around it. Western Oklahoma, that's kind of a big deal around here. And we like to structure that stuff to where it fits your operation. You know, one size doesn't fit all. We're able to take what you need and have it fit you specifically. It helps guys with their cash flow. It gives them a little relief knowing they don't have to come up with a payment during the slow time of the year. They're not having to sell calves early to make a payment. I'm Jason Redd, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
A good morning to all of Jimmy's great stewards of the land. This is Drew Cobb with your Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, May 26. 673 head were sold. 7 head of steers at 270 brought 334. 3 at 328 brought 304. 5 at 489 brought 275. 3 at 497 brought 274. 2 at 548 brought 254. 9 at 557 brought 264. 19 at 609 brought 239. 3 head of heifers at 335 brought 260. 2 at 433 brought 236. 7 at 607 brought 218. 4 at 629 brought 214. 8 at 654 brought 211. 6 at 671 brought 198. 4 at 728 brought 196. Butcher cows were 10 to 115. Butcher bulls brought 95 to 138. Bred cows were 975 to 1760. Pairs brought 960 to 2200. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. to consign. Call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095. That's 580-497-6095.
Hey, all you Western Okies and Texas Panhandlers, this is Jared Clark with South Star JCB, and I've got a JCB with your name on it. Check us out on the web at SouthStarTXJCB.com. That's SouthStarTXJCB.com, or give me a call, 469-325-7466. 469-325-7466. Thank you, and God bless you.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back to this Oklahoma Farm Bureau Happy Cap Hour, brought to you by the Roger Mills Farm County Farm Bureau. I've picked town of Dozer, and 68 degrees there, humidity is 89, dew point 64. The winds are out of the southeast at 6 miles an hour, wind gusts up to 8. Peak gust today, I guess when that front blew through there a while ago, 40 miles an hour. So far, month to date, precipitation, which today's the first, so since midnight, they've got 1.5 inches of rain there, good for them. Ambient soil temperature there is 70 degrees. Let's check out the text line. Almost 2.5 inches at Cheyenne last night. 7 miles away, only had 0.1. I know, you just got to get right under the big cloud. If you want to get any pond runoff, you got to just be right under that cloud. Eric and Texola getting one heck of a storm right now, rain. Eric just lost electricity. And they got 0.20 inches or 201 thousandths, is what they say over there in Grimes, American, Roger Mills County, north and west of Bisai. So, anyway, everybody's getting just a little bit of rain. Well, let's see what happened overnight. What happened to it? I guess I lost it. Hang on with me. Bear with me. I'll get back to it here. Let's see what, there we go. I don't know what happened to it, but I got her. I got her back now. Here we go. Let's see what happened overnight. What's caused all the grains to be in the green today instead of the red like they were yesterday. They took a beating yesterday. Grain and soybean futures rebounded from recent losses as traders who were short the market or who bet on lower prices buy back contracts and liquidate positions. Wheat futures had dropped to the lowest level in more than 2 years. And corn and beans saw sharp declines as planting in the U.S. rolls on. The open door for bargain hunters looking to cover short positions to buy back contracts towards the end of yesterday's session in overnight trading. Rain has fallen this week and more is expected in parts of western Nebraska and Kansas. Still about 40% of the Midwest remains dry, according to the Commodity Weather Group in a note to its clients. Temperatures in parts of the region will peak in the mid-90s in the next 7 days through the following week, although the following week looks a little cooler. Precipitation is expected to continue into the southern plains, where some areas have received as much as 6 times the normal amount of rain in the past 2 weeks. Traders are also keeping an eye on the developments of the Black Sea Grain Initiative. Imagine that. The agreements allowing exports of agriculture products from Ukraine. Russia has again threatened to torpedo the deal, saying Western countries aren't holding up their end of the bargain. The United Nations proposed a plan that would prepare Russia ammonia for transport, though Ukraine in a bid to salvage the agreement, which expires in mid-July, according to Rutgers report. Corn futures up 4.25 overnight to 5.98 1/4 at Chicago. Wheat futures for Chicago for July delivery added 9 cents to 6.03 1/4, while Kansas City futures dropped 10 1/4 or jumped 10 1/4 to $8 a bushel, right on the money. Soybeans for July delivery gained 17.5 cents to $13.17 1/4 cents a bushel. As exports from the U.S. are now forecast at $181 billion in fiscal 2023, trailing a prior outlook due to reductions in the outlook for corn, wheat, beef, and poultry exports, the government said in the report. That's down from the previous month's forecast of $184.5 billion. The report was between the USDA's Economic Research Service and Foreign Ag Service, said the corn export outlook fell 13% from the February outlook. Wheat exports are pegged at $7.4 billion, down from the previous estimate of $8.3 billion. Grain and feed shipments are now valued at $40.5 billion, down $3.3 billion from the prior month's forecast. Livestock, poultry, and dairy exports are now projected at $39.3 billion. That's down 3% from February's forecast. The outlook for ethanol exports were unchanged at $3.6 billion. Shipments to China are pegged at $34 billion, unchanged from February. Exports to Mexico are projected at $28.5 billion, up half a billion from the previous outlook. And Canada is expected to purchase $27.8 billion of U.S. ag products, unchanged from the prior forecast. Flash flood warnings and watches have been issued for parts of Oklahoma and the Texas Panhandle and counties in eastern New Mexico due to the ongoing storms, according to the National Weather Service. A warning was in effect this morning for Amarillo as it got up to 4 inches of rain. 3 to 5 inches of rain precipitation fell upstream from Palodora Canyon, leaving the area vulnerable to flash flooding. Flood warnings are also in effect due to the rain in the southern plains. Train weather spotters reported heavy rain in the warned area due to thunderstorms. Flooding is ongoing as we talk about it right now. Okay, let's see what's happening briefly. Let me update this new market here, and we'll talk a little bit about the Oklahoma Farm Bureau. Corn for July, $5.95. It's up over $1 today. Soybeans for July, $13.29, up $0.30. Soybean meal, $4.02.10. And soybean oil is July, $47.59. And hard red winter wheat is July, $7.99. It's up over $9. September hard red winter wheat, up over $10. Oats for July, $3.41, up over $2. September, $3.45. And we get down here to cotton. July, 83 cents a pound. October, 83 cents a pound. Actually, cotton's the only thing in the red today to speak of besides way down the road on lean hogs. Live cattle for June, 174.57. Way up today. August, 172.25. October, 175.67. December, 178.80. Feeder cattle for August, 241.05. September 244.32, and June live lean hogs are 83.55. Oklahoma Farm Bureau is a grassroots organization that gives a voice to Oklahoma farmers, ranchers, and rural communities. Directed and guided by Oklahoma farmers and ranchers, the Oklahoma Farm Bureau advocates for our state agriculturists and rural communities around our state, at our state capital in Oklahoma City, and halls of Congress in Washington, D.C. You can easily join the Roger Mills County Farm Bureau by going by their office in Cheyenne. It didn't get flooded out last night, even though they got rain. Memberships are just $37.50 and come with many benefits like insurance, life insurance, free roadside assistance, and discounts with various business. Call 580-497-2579 or go to their website at okfarmbureau.org. We're going to take a quick break, and I got a special guest in the studio. He showed up all nice and dressed and looks great. Brad Merritt, he's in the studio with me today. He come all the way from Dallas to pick up 2 quarters of beef in western Oklahoma. They know where it's grown good. So anyway, we're going to talk a little bit with him, don't go anywhere. This is going to be a very interesting conversation, and it's nothing like you think it's going to be. So we'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
I was a teacher, and so I taught him in high school. What I always noticed about Mickey was what a leader he was. And part of it is because he's so willing to do the work himself. We had an incident this past December. Had the freeze in Mangum, had a pipe bust in the wall, and it's just a mess. And Gary called Mickey. And honestly, the plumber did arrive first, but Mickey and his daughter were right behind him. They brought tools, and they helped Gary clean out the bedroom, and they mopped the floor, they took the carpet up. And when they left, I told Gary, I said, we couldn't live in a better town, because that would never happen anywhere else. And we're very thankful to have him. I'm Celia Nippert, and Gary and I use Mickey Lively because we know that when we have a need for our insurance, that Mickey and Farm Bureau will take good care of
it. Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Is your cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating it. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through it. Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City today.
And ranchers, listen up. It's time to make your life easier with the Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding and Repair in Visalia, Oklahoma. The Apache Hay Wagon hauls multiple bales of hay and helps reduce waste. Less waste means more money in your pocket. It'll pay for itself over time, plus make your life easier. What a deal. See all they have to offer at everettswelding.com. Again, that's everettswelding.com. And be sure to check out their ads inside the Penny News.
Once again, a good afternoon to all of Jimmy's great stewards of the land. This is Drew Cobb with the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, May 22nd. 788 head were sold. Four head of steers at 361 brought 295. 13 at 503 brought 276.50. Three at 685 brought 212. Four at 759 brought 210. 27 at 937 brought 188. Nine at 965 brought 192. 24 at 1021 brought 177. Four head of heifers at 329 brought 257. 13 at 428 brought 240. Eight at 544 brought 221. 10 at 569 brought 224. 33 at 743 brought 190.50. 7 at 809 brought 186. 2 at 838 brought 181. Butcher cows were 10 to 110.50. Butcher bulls brought 70 to 140. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction exit 71. Clinton, Oklahoma. Sale every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095. That's a 580-497-6095. And before I go, I'll let you know that Jimmy Clark can build a snowman out of rain, drown a fish, and tie his shoes with his feet.
Yay! Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
I didn't supervise that conversation with Drew. Anyway, here's your northwestern Oklahoma forecast and northeastern Texas panhandle. We have 73 degrees at the big city of Camargo, right by the river bridge. It feels like 73, dew point 63, humidity 70. Rain in the last 24 hours, 16/100ths of an inch. The wind's out of the southeast at 9 miles an hour. Sunset at 8:45 today. 81 for a high, 50% chance of rain, 40% tonight, 60% tomorrow, on a high of 82. Really good chance of rain tomorrow night, 80% chance, and 59 for a low, 40 for a high Saturday. 40% chance of rain for Saturday, 78 for a high. 60% chance of rain and thunderstorms Sunday, 80 degrees, Monday, 30% chance of thunderstorms and 81. So, anyway, the rain, keep it coming. That's all I can tell you. Oh, I did get on the whatever they call that, the North Fork of the Red River, whatever they call that. Each bridge along the North Fork of the Red River has got a deal where this monitors. The one at Carter said out of order on the face, said it was having technical problems right now. But I did check the one at the bridge at Red River at Shamrock, and it is climbing. And it's already come up. Looks like 8 inches this morning. That don't sound like much. It's in North Fork of the Red River. That's a lot. So anyway, the one at Sayre's come up also. And a lot of big rains out there along the North Fork Basin last night. So I figure sometime tomorrow evening or Saturday sometime, the river at Sayre will be getting up more. And also, I'll let you guys know tomorrow at noon because I took a picture of what it looks like now. We'll see what it looks like tomorrow. So anyway, don't be going down there crossing the river with equipment thinking you're going to get it back tomorrow. Might not happen. So anyway, it's coming up good because all that water leads into Lugard, so they'll have some, I think it's up like 0.3% or something like that in the last few days, but it needs a lot of water from out there in the Texas Panhandle and around Eric and Sayre to bring that lake up to, quite a bit. One in the studio with me right now is Mr. Brad Merritt. He's from Frisco, Texas. He drove all the way up here to get two quarters of beef that he got from me, and they were processed over there at Route 66 over there. But how was your trip this morning? Did you catch the traffic going west out of El Reno?
I kind of felt like coming out of Dallas.
You don't get on social media or you would have took that highway.
No.
Everybody's just they got construction or something going on in there.
Yeah.
So anyway, so your trip was good?
Good. Yeah, it looks like it's gonna rain outside. That's good for you guys.
Oh yeah. So why do you come all the way up here to get beef? Is it because of my good looks?
Not really, no. just because it tastes better. I mean, there's, you know, you can go buy what's in the store, but why should you when you can come buy fresh meat?
Yeah, it's fresh and good, raised right here and there. Tell everybody, you're going to think this is not ag-related, but it is, because I think of it this way. All of Western Oklahoma and the Eastern Texas Panhandle, away from Amarillo or Oklahoma City, we're rural communities out here. And the biggest part of our kids that are in schools are from the farm, or you know, have something to do with agriculture. And our parents, farm and ranch every day, and the safety of our children is our number one priority. And Brad, you're the chief of police at what's the name of that?
Pilot Point ISD.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. And I met Brad through my son. They were neighbors there for a few years, and Brad's come up and went quail hunting. I showed him how to quail hunt and shoot and stuff up here. But anyway, so you guys all remember last year, there's a bad thing happened in Uvalde. It was terrible. And it's not the first time that it's happened with a shooter in the schools. But you guys have come up with something. And explain to everybody how this all happened.
Yeah, you know, as you mentioned, of course, I am chief of police in Pilot Point ISD. I retired from Frisco PD last year, about a year and a half ago now. My last assignment over there, I was one of the sergeants in charge of the school resource unit. And in Frisco, we have about, at the time, we had about 70,000 kids. We had numerous school threats. We were working threat after threat after threat, day in, day out. It just became the norm. We see this in the news all the time. It's become the norm across the country. So about 4 years ago, I partnered with a guy named Ernie Williams, who you got to meet. He was sad he couldn't be here with us today. He got called away on some other business. But he's a 30-year Special Forces vet, done some really good things in the military, some things we can't talk about, some things that sometime you can have him on the show and y'all can tell war stories because they're pretty funny.
Yeah. Especially when you got an Army and a Marine talking to each other.
Yep. good times. I just sat back and listened and laughed.
It is.
Of course, my background, I've got 30 years in law enforcement. Big part of that is in the schools and securing schools and working with schools. So Ernie reached out to me about 4 years ago with a product called Go to Green, and we'll get into that just here in a minute. But he wanted real-time experience. As, you know, he's a vet. He wanted real-time experience and testing from cops and military to try this system out and see how it works. In a nutshell, what Go to Green is, it's a set of sensors and cameras that we put in schools. And let me backtrack a little bit. The reason Ernie came up with this was, you know, he, as a military veteran, he used to be concerned with the fight. He's not concerned with that anymore. He's got a grandson in school, and so that in his terms, it's the paradigm shift that he experienced. It's all about keeping kids safe. So he and a couple buddies of his came up with this particular program called Go to Green, and, you know, he calls it Ernie Easy, and we all do, but essentially it's a pathway to safety for kids during an active threat incident to get them out of the school, get them out of harm's way. So as we started testing it and we began going through the motions, we came up with some other ideas. The name of the company is Go to Green, but what we call it is Go to Green, Respond to Red. And the way I'll explain that is we have a set of LED sensors in the schools, and let's just say a shooter comes in and shoots in one of the hallways, the sensors and the program activate. The sensors light up, the green is the go to green, so to speak. That's the pathway to safety for the kids. On the opposite side of the LED, there's red LEDs that light up, and that's respond to red. That shows first responders where to go to respond to get the potential threat.
Okay.
It goes further than that, where let's say the shooter walks in, and we'll just say a shooter in this instance. It could be any kind of threat, but we'll say a shooter because that's what we all know. Say he comes in one door. He shoots right under that sensor or right around that sensor. It activates as red and blue strobes, as you would see on a police car. And that directs first responders exactly to the threat so we can go get the threat. At the same time, it's directing kids out of the school in another direction to keep them away from the harm. We have sensors on the inside of the school, the outside of the school. There's a system in Texas called Alert, which I'm not sure if you are doing it up here in Oklahoma or not. I'm sure you are doing some form of it. But essentially, during one of these incidences, you'll have tons of cops show up, hundreds and hundreds of cops show up from around the state or just anywhere because they all want to help and do the right thing. Or this becomes invaluable is they don't know these schools, they don't know these buildings, but we can direct them in through Go to Green, through the command post. So
gotcha.
That's in a nutshell, that's kind of it, and we can dig down deeper into it, you know, what questions you want to ask or what you think your listeners might want to hear.
Oh, no, it's great. Yeah, I'm not sure about the first alert system they got in Oklahoma. I know the Oklahoma Highway Patrol can be here in just a matter of minutes because they've got a reactionary team, whether it's a shooter on the run or whatever, it's a hostage situation, they got it going on because the last couple of 4 or 5 years, you know, I'm sure you've seen the video where they had a guy that shot a couple police officers over east of here, mm-hmm. by Oklahoma City, and he come out here and got on the run, and he was hiding, and they found him up there by Leedy,
and a deputy
found him because he was dragging a chain and shot at him, and it's the video where the highway patrolman was shooting out his window.
Right.
That's the best video.
Yeah, that's a pretty good video.
That's the best video. But, you know, this Oklahoma Highway Patrol, all of our law enforcement is great, but Oklahoma Highway Patrol is probably one of the more elite highway patrol units in the United States. Every now and then you'll see them coming down the interstate going 120 miles an hour, and they're riding on each other's bumper, and they know what they're doing. They know where they're going. So
yeah, that's for sure. And that's where this system comes into play because y'all might have heard up here we had a trooper, Texas Highway Patrol trooper, that was shot in Frisco a few years ago, and it ended up in a 15-year standoff that we were on scene for that. I was there very quickly, about the third or fourth car on scene, and what we realized real quick, with being a state trooper involved, we had hundreds of cops on scene instantly.
Yeah.
And so what do you do with all those guys when they get there? Because they all want to get into it. Well, you can't have everybody in the fight, so
right.
to speak. So that's one component of the system to where we can have, I'll just use a bullpen, I'll use that as a slang term, have a bullpen of cops sitting over there waiting to respond to whatever we need them to respond to. Well, we can direct them in with the system. And when we get back into the system itself, how it operates, this is the really cool part. So people always ask me, well, you know, somebody shoots, how do the sensors know to pick up that gunfire? Well, what it does is, yes, we're measuring the sound of the bullet or the gunshot, but we're also measuring the ballistic pressure of the bullet flying through the air. And the best way I can explain that is in any school, we have wall lockers that the kids use.
Right.
If you push a wall locker over onto the concrete floor and you pull off a .45 round at the exact same time that wall locker hits the floor, two blocks away, you won't hear the wall locker hit the floor, but you will hear the gunshot.
Yeah, right.
And that's the ballistic pressure cracking the sound barrier, and that's the bang that you hear.
Right.
And so that's what our sensors are picking up. As we go further through this, as the shooter moves through the building, we have cameras that actively track the shooter, and that gives real-time intel to the cops on scene through the command post saying, hey, and I'll just use what you're wearing today, hey, we got a shooter wearing
don't
blue
say
jeans.
My color. No, OU's playing today. Do not say my color I'm wearing.
Okay, he's wearing Texas orange. I'll give it to him.
Dang.
Because I am a UT fan.
you just lost all my customers listening.
We go back and forth between Texas and OU. But can give a real-time description of the guy, of the shooter, of the suspect. And as we all know from Columbine, those two suspects out of Columbine, they change clothes. They shed their long jackets and what have you. And so that was real-time intel that we would have needed on the ground.
Right.
That they're no longer looking like what they looked like when they came in the building. So all that to be said, we have the sensors that are triggering and reacting to the gunfire. We have the kids that are being directed to safety. We have the cops that are responding to Red, and they know exactly where the threat is, what he looks like, who he is, or not who he is, but what they're looking for. And so it takes the guesswork out of having to go in and search a building and find the potential suspect. We can direct the law enforcement first responders directly in to where the suspect is.
What? So is there just, you've been around this all your life, all your career, is the threat to smaller rural schools just as high as they are to the bigger schools?
Absolutely. You know, and I hesitate to say that there's a bigger risk, because the risk is the same throughout the country.
Okay.
You know, and one of the main questions I get asked all the time is, as a law enforcement guy, is, you know, what can we do to prevent this type of activity? What can we do to prevent school shooters, threats on schools? And the simple answer is you can't. I mean, we hear all the time, well, we're going to take measures to prevent it. You can't prevent it. You can only mitigate it and respond to it once it happens.
Yeah.
You know, we can make our schools as hard as we want to make them look like a prison, make them look like Fort Knox. But at the end of the day, if somebody has enough evil in their heart that they want to come
they're
in
gonna get there.
To get to a school, they're going to find a way to get in.
I mean, you heard so many different things from Uvalde. I've been through Uvalde 100 times. I love that's one. They got the best Whataburger in the United States.
Yes, they do.
That's all I could tell you. They got the best Whataburger in the United States. But, you know, you heard all kinds of rumors, and I'm not even going to talk about them, but, you know, the back door just happened to be blocked open because the teachers were, or somebody was out doing a break or something like that, and they found a way in by accident.
Right.
You know, and there's all kinds of other reports. Everybody's blaming law enforcement, and they probably just, it caught everybody off guard, but it woke up the beast, didn't it?
It did, and you know, I've read the Uvalde report, and there's still stuff coming out, you know, almost daily on that incident. It's a tragic incident. I'm not here to second-guess anybody that responded to that, because
right.
I wasn't there. So I don't have firsthand knowledge. I can tell you what I've read. What I would do is I would encourage you, if you do have questions about it, go read the report. It's online. You can find it. But at the same time, through all of these incidents, not just Uvalde, what we've heard all the time is if we just had a moment longer, you know, we could get kids to safety. And that's what is so cool about this system. You know, Jimmy knows me pretty well, and I'm a skeptic. I don't buy off on the stuff.
And he doesn't quail hunt worth the crap.
I can shoot some quail. Come on now.
I'm just kidding.
But I don't take things lightly and at face value. And in fact, in the school district that I'm chief of, we have this system. We're the first entity in the world to have it.
Well, you guys are working on a deal with all of Texas, is that right? Or correct. Trying to get the make it a law or something? What I can't remember what you told me about that.
Well, yeah, it's kind of in the infancy stages. Basically, we're the first ones in the world to have it. We've had to overcome a lot of obstacles. Our buildings down there, if you know anything about Pilot Point, Texas, it's an old town. The schools are very old, so we had to deal with a lot of infrastructure challenges, which, actually was the best learning ground we could have for our first install. And it worked out great. Just last week, we had a training with my department and with Texas Department of Public Safety, Texas, the troopers, as we all call them, with their CID division. And it was a closed training where we could test ALERT, which is our rapid response alert into active shooter situations in Texas through the Texas School Safety Center. We could test that response against Go to Green and test Go to Green against that response. And we were blown away by the way that the two worked together.
It was good. They made a great combination.
Great. We had cops there from the state police that had no idea what they were walking into. And as we were working the system, what we heard over and over and over was the lights directed them straight to the bad guy. And it killed off tons of time that it would have taken us to systematically go in and search for a bad guy.
So would you recommend this for your kid's school?
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Sounds like
it. That's one thing, being one of the owners of the company. I'm just a new owner of the company. I made it very clear to Ernie and his team that I couldn't have anything to do with it until after we completed everything in Pilot Point, because that's a conflict of interest.
Right.
I wanted to see if it worked or not, to be right. quite honest with you. I had been helping with the development of it as an advisor, for the last several years, and I had confidence in it, but I had to see it work.
Right.
And, we were all blown away, absolutely blown away. There's a gentleman named John Michael Keyes. He's the founder of the I Love You Guys organization out of Colorado. And the reason that he started that foundation was because his daughter was killed in one of the school shootings in Colorado. And her last text to her mother and father was, I love you guys.
Huh.
And she was killed shortly after that. When they were piecing everything together in the aftermath, one of the investigators told Mr. Keyes, had your daughter just had a few extra seconds, she would have been alive,
right.
potentially. And that's what spurred him on to start that organization and foundation. And they've come up with the standard response protocol that's being used throughout the state and really throughout the nation now. So we've incorporated that system into the Go to Green program as well.
Let's take a quick break. When we come back, I will finish up with you, and I'll have your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast for you. We'll be right back after this from this Oklahoma Farm Bureau break.
Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Cattle have to eat. When grass runs short and you want to strengthen your herd, go with Hi-Pro. For Hi-Pro, go to Cowman's. Cowman's Feed and Ranch Supply in Erie specializes in bulk feed. It's always in stock and prices are good. And the way they take care of you is even better. If Gary Mills says he'll do it, it gets done every time. It's nice to know a place like Cowman's is around to help ag producers here at home. Cowman's Feed and Ranch Supply, 117 West 2nd in Erie. Call 526-3070.
SEI Agritech in Elk City is now an Oklahoma authorized distributor for Avanta Seeds, offering Avanta Seed in corn, forage sorghum, and milo. Advanta Seeds is focused on sustainable agriculture and providing farmers with quality seed. Advanta is now offering 0% financing through December 2023. So stop by SEI Agritech on South Randall or give Kent a call at 580-225-0317 for more details on Advanta Seeds. The future begins with a seed.
What's better than a new Hustler zero-turn mower? A new Hustler zero-turn mower with up to $350 in rebates. DJ's Rentals and Sales in Elk City is helping cut your grass and your cost. Purchase a new Hustler Raptor Series mower and get a rebate from $200 up to $350. What a grass-cutting, money-saving deal. This offer is only good till the end of May, so you better hustle.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards Weekly Cattle Sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
It was 30 years old. A gentleman brought in a 30-year-old ratchet that quit working, and they replaced it. No questions asked. 30 years old, and they replaced it. Just like that. Napa Auto Parts offers a lifetime warranty on all their tools. They stand behind their products, and they take care of the people who buy them.
We try our best not to tell the customer no, but to find what they need. Napa Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd. More parts for more cars.
It's important to keep your irrigation machines up and running during the growing season, because when your crops need water, they can't wait. And when you need parts, there's no substitute for the best. Valley Genuine Parts, from gaskets and gearboxes to booster pumps and boombacks. Valley Genuine Parts make all the difference to your operation. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325. For all your irrigation parts, technology, and service needs. Or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
Your tractor has a flat tire out in the field. Or you're on a construction site and your truck tire is flat. So you call down to Blair. They answer the phone, and somebody comes to wherever you are to fix your problem. They come to you. Blair Tire and Feed has 8 people who work like dogs to take care of you. They carry Firestone, Michelin, and some other tires. Blair Tire and Feed. They're at the corner of Highway 283 and 19. For on-site tire service, call 563-2692. 563-2692. They come to you.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. I have picked Mangum, Oklahoma as your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast. Matter of fact, while I'm talking about Hobart Farm and Garden, you're going home that way. You need to stop at that place and walk into the back room and then call me. It's they're the number one Browning dealer in the state.
Oh God.
Yeah. So anyway, you need to stop there and just stop for 5 minutes. That's all it takes. Don't let your meat thaw out there. You're picking up at 66 today.
Is this going to cost me more money by stopping?
Probably.
<there?
laughs> Yeah. 80 degrees in Mangum right now. Dew point 64. Humidity's 59%. No rainfall in Mangum in the last 24 hours, and I'm sure that's a first in about a week. East, 4 miles an hour winds, sunset at 8:45. Let's see what your forecast looks like. 84 for a high, 50% chance of rain today, tonight, 60% tomorrow, 86 for a high, 80% tomorrow night, 40% Saturday and 83, 70% Sunday and 83, and Monday, 40% chance, rain of 82. We got a couple minutes left here. We're going to finish up the show with Brad. Brad, thanks for purchasing some Clark Family Farm ranch meat.
You bet.
That all Clark Farms, but I threw all that other stuff in there, make it sound like Jimbonics. Anyway, we're talking about this system. I'm fascinated by it. I've looked at it, and I'm really amazed by it. And yes, you're a friend of mine, and you're on the show and stuff. But no, it's not really ag related, but it's good stuff for our communities. And we've already had a couple of techs sent in. Wondering how they could talk to their board members or superintendents, whoever they want to, or more information about it. And it's www.go2green.org. Go2green.org. It's real easy to any other way to get a hold of you guys?
Yeah, you can email me at brad@go2green.org. And like Jimmy said, it's go2green.org. gotogreen.org, or you can email Ernie at gotogreen.org. Ernie is the CEO, like I said. We work very closely together. We do demos if anybody would like to see it, if your board members would like to see it. We do demos. We're putting together some video that was shot of our training last week, that'll be available very soon. But as Jimmy said a while ago, you know, it's not really ag-related, but it kind of is, because if we don't protect the future, which are our kids, who's going to take over everything that we do now, whether it's farming, whether it's law enforcement, it doesn't matter what we do. They're the next generation, so we got to do everything we can to protect them.
Well, Brad, music's playing, and it's time for both you and I to shut up. And so,
good.
Thanks a million for coming early to stop by and do the show before you go pick up your locally grown, locally processed meat. And yep. So, anyway, hopefully we can have you back up here again soon. Bring Ernie.
Yeah.
I like talking to jarheads.
Oh, yeah. Well, I appreciate you guys having me. Y'all have a great day.
All right. It's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark. God bless.